Keep your papery off our campus. Keep your Catholicism off our campus. Keep your enthusiasm off our campus. Keep your blasphemy off our campus. Keep your science 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 off our campus.
Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about the priestly cycle of universities. This is the idea that universities go through a cycle whereby they are established essentially by geniuses, then they attract midwits, then they go into decline, then they almost collapse into irrelevance, and then they have to basically allow geniuses to come in again. This is the cycle that universities are going through at the moment, and this is not the first time it has happened. Now, looking at this is inspired by something that's just come out, which is evidence that Stanford University, which is one of the best universities in America, is now rejecting 70% of students that have perfect SAT scores, i.e. students that have extremely high intelligence, and that white males among their intake are down to just 12%. Now, why is this happening? It is happening because the ideology of political correctness or wokeness says that you have to let people in because of their part of the grievance hierarchy, i.e. they are anything other than white males. And so increasingly they are letting in people not because of their intelligence. Of course, you can get highly intelligent people that aren't white males, but they're letting in people not because of their intelligence, but because of their place in the grievance hierarchy. In other words, ideology, and in particular an equalitarian religious sort of ideology that puts dogma and belief in dogma above everything else, has taken over Stanford University. Now, the problem with what these people seem to think, these leftists, is they think in essentialist terms. The way they think is that Stanford University or Oxford University or Cambridge University are highly prestigious and highly looked up to. And therefore, it is unfair that those universities that are strongly the people who have been to who are white and male or who have been to private schools or whatever are strongly overrepresented at those universities. That is not fair. These universities should represent society as a whole. So if we move on to Oxford or Cambridge, 20 years ago, 7% of the British population or English population went to private schools, but it was 50% of students among those who went to Oxford and Cambridge. And the attitude of the leftists is that is not fair. There are all these groups that are underrepresented at Oxford and Cambridge. They don't seem to care about people from, not only people from state schools, but also black people minorities of various kinds. No, this prestigious place must represent the society. The result is there has been increasing pressure on Oxford and Cambridge and other prestigious universities to change the way in which they let people in, to let people in, discriminate against people that are private schools, to disproportionately reject people from private schools, to let in people because they are working class or because their parents have never been to university or because they are black or whatever it happens to be. And now it gets to a point where you have this ideology which has overtaken these kinds of universities, whereby in order to get in, you have to assent to wokeness. You have, for example, in the staff, you have to give them a diversity statement as part of your application process and all this sort of thing. And so you have them putting really an ideology, which is the ideology of wokeness with its various ideas that everybody should be equal and all people are equal and that we should fight against social injustice and all of this stuff, above academic ability. Now, of course, what they don't seem to understand in their essentialism is that prestige is not something that is written in stone. There isn't a platonic world of forms in which there is Oxford and Cambridge and Stanford and whatever and the term prestige stamped on it. Something is prestigious because people that have high status do that. Who are people that have high status? Well, in academic terms, it's people that are extremely intelligent. It's the sort of genius type, the person who has outlier high IQ and combines this with a moderately antisocial personality, which means that he doesn't care about offending people and that he is too autistic to know that he's offending people and that he is low in impulse control. So he and a conscientious and rule following, which allows him to think outside the box and come up with original ideas. And it's the basically the aristocracy and the upper class and people like that, people who are looked up to. It's those people who are prestigious, and if they go to somewhere, that place becomes prestigious. If you discriminate against them, if you stop those people from going there, then prestige will simply move somewhere else. It's not fixed. And an example of this can be seen in the University of Durham, which was not particularly prestigious until the 1950s. It was just a university in northern England that northern people went to. And then from about the 50s onwards, Oxford and Cambridge started trying to be more meritocratic. So it used to be that they would let you in, it didn't matter how intelligent you were, but simply because you'd been to public school or whatever, you'd been to a school like Eton, a public school, and that would basically mean that you'd get in. And there were very few people from state school at this university. And so what they started doing from about 1950 onwards is actually trying to be more meritocratic. This meant they started rejecting the less intelligent kids from public schools, whose parents, of course, had been to Oxford or Cambridge for generations. Those children wanted to go somewhere that was like Oxford or Cambridge. Durham was the third oldest university. It was in a beautiful old city like Oxford and Cambridge. It was in a collegiate system like Oxford and Cambridge. So they started going there, and by the 60s, Durham was regarded as a highly prestigious university, i.e. prestige had moved with these people, the upper class, to where they went. Similarly, then when Durham started rejecting upper class people and trying to be more meritocratic, they started going to Newcastle or Nottingham or Exeter or various other places that weren't as prestigious as Durham, and prestige starts to move with them to those places. So those places start to become more prestigious. And that's the nature, that's how it works. Prestige is not set in stone. And also it's ridiculous to discriminate against the upper class because one of the correlates of intelligence is not only socioeconomic status achieved, but socioeconomic status of origin. And the reason for that is because the heritability of intelligence is about 0.8 and the heritability of socioeconomic status across three generations is about 0.7. I look at this in my book, At Our Wit's End. And so therefore you would expect, even if they've been to public school and private school, the attitude of the system at the moment is to say, oh, well, you've been there, you've had an unfair advantage, we're going to discriminate against you. Well, that's not quite the case. It may be that those schools push them to their phenotypic maximum intelligence, and without those schools they might not have done quite as well, but they probably still would have done very well because of the high genetic component to intelligence. So this is what we have then. We have a situation where the universities are going through this cycle. And how does the cycle work? Well, we've seen it before. We've seen it exactly before, and it's worked in exactly the same way. This is not the first time universities have gone into decline. Universities were established in the early Middle Ages by the scholastics. By the standards of their time, the scholastics were basically geniuses. The scholastics were highly intelligent people who, within certain boundaries of religious belief, because in certain ways religious belief was something that nobody questioned at the time, were actually really kind of rocking the boat and asking really rather intelligent questions. And things like a lot of innovations in logic, such as Occam's razor or the work of Thomas Aquinas or whatever, they all come from the scholastics. So these are people with outlier high IQ, combined probably with moderately antisocial personality traits, which allowed them to come up with brilliant stuff. So the universities, the medieval universities like Oxford and Cambridge, start coming up with this brilliant stuff. And this, they therefore become prestigious places where people want to send their children. What does that do? Well, once it becomes prestigious, it attracts the midwit. It attracts the person of normal range high intelligence. And as we have discussed before on this channel, normal range high intelligence is not inherently associated with a questioning disposition where you want to question everything and just fanatically get to the truth, as is the case with a highly intelligent autistic. Very different. Normal range intelligence is associated with social conformity. Normal range intelligence is associated with working out what the dominant set of values is, imbibing those set of that set of values, realizing the social benefits of conforming to that set of values, and then competitively signaling conformity to those set of values, such that they will move continuously in either a more conservative or a more liberal direction, depending on what the dominant set of values is. So as you let in more and more of these people who are the midwits, who are the IQs of 115 or whatever of the time, of a standard deviation below the genius of the time, then the culture of the university changes, and it becomes less concerned with the autistic pursuit of truth and more concerned with basically being an arm of the government, with being an arm of the state, with backing up intellectually what the current culture thinks is the right thing to think and the right thing to do. And so this would have gradually occurred, undermining the prestige of the universities and undermining their utility and undermining what they were doing. And eventually you get to a situation where the universities aren't particularly intellectual at all, aren't particularly original at all, and they start to gradually remove the geniuses, because the geniuses are always going to be of a questioning disposition. The geniuses are always going to rock the boat. The geniuses are going to question whatever the dominant way of thinking is. They will be attracted to questioning it in order to get to the truth. That is the nature of being a genius. And once you have a university that is taken over by people who are there to propound a particular ideology, i.e. the current ideology of the time, then those people will start to be dangerous, and those people will start to be kind of basically gradually removed and thrown out. Once you bring in ideological litmus tests, those people will question those litmus tests and they will be removed. Now, this is what happened very much at universities during the Reformation. During the Reformation, universities became were hotbeds of Protestantism. This is always the case, isn't it? Young people of that kind of age are the hotbeds of ideology. It's wokeness now. It was Protestantism during the Reformation. And many of the people that were burned at the stake during the reign of Queen Mary were students and scholars and whatever at Cambridge. So you had a university that hadn't been completely taken over by wokeness yet, that still had a sort of a belief within certain ideals of the scholastic ideal of the truth. The scholastic ideal of the truth was basically that God has created the world, and it is our duty as academics to understand the nature of God's revelation. That's our purpose. That's why they used to talk about philosophy as a kind of or science as a natural theology. The idea was that you're understanding the nature of God's revelation, and therefore to lie in any way is absolutely blasphemous. There is nothing higher than the truth in scholastic theology, because the truth is revealing God's revelation. Now, what you start to get then, of course, is this Protestantism on campus. Mary does a good job of burning quite a few of them, but then eventually Protestantism takes over, and by the mid 16th century, Protestantism has completely taken over the universities, and the universities are no longer about the pursuit of truth. The universities are increasingly about backing up Protestant ideas, and by the 17th century, in order to go to university at all, in England, you must be a confessing Anglican. You must be a confessing Anglican. And in order to be a teacher at the university, in order to be a scholar there, a fellow there, you must be an ordained member of the Church of England. So the nature of the university has changed. The geniuses have been chucked out because they are blasphemers and they question the system and whatever. You get some of them that sort of cope in university, like Isaac Newton coped in Cambridge, but he had to kind of secretly do research that was looking into questioning things and whatever, and he had to be very careful about it. He was doing it kind of undercover. He had to be careful he wouldn't be thrown out. But in general, no, to go there, you have to make it clear that you are a confessing Protestant, much as you must be a confessing woke person now. People are appointed not on the grounds of their intelligence, but on the grounds of the extent to which they are Protestant, just as they are appointed on the extent to which they are woke now. People who are not confessing Protestants cannot go there, just as people who are not prepared to play the game and be confessing woke people cannot go there now. People are brought into the university on the grounds of their Protestantism, not on the ground and their connections to the church and whatever, not on the grounds of their intelligence, just as you have this woke element now with bringing people in that aren't white males and so forth. And so the university has gone to the next stage of its cycle, and therefore it starts to lose prestige, because the best research cannot be done within the universities. You cannot do serious research that questions things or whatever within the universities. The universities aren't interested in that. They're interested in backing up Protestantism. And so you get the rise of the gentleman scholar. and increasingly research is done outside of or outside of English universities. It's not done at English universities. It's the gentleman scholar, the scholar rector, whatever, people like this who are not within the universities. They do the serious research, the highly innovative stuff, all the stuff from the Industrial Revolution or whatever else you can think of. It's all done by people outside the universities because the universities are no longer a place that is conducive to logical thought and to questioning things and to getting to the truth. That's not what they're about. They are increasingly just finishing schools for the upper class. They are places where the upper class go in order to sort of find themselves and in order to have fun, have a bit of a laugh, really. A lot of them leave without even doing their degrees, or just to get some training in a context, of course, which you have to have libraries, some training in law in order to run their estates, or some training in something sort of practical use. That's the purpose of the universities. Now, what happens as a result of this is the universities go into decline. The population is going up only very slowly, but literally people stop going to universities. So because it's considered a waste of time. What's the point? Increasingly, you're not learning anything useful. You're not learning how to think, which is traditionally why you went there. You went there to learn how to think. You're not learning how to think. You're learning to be indoctrinated, and you might have access to a library. And the standards of lecturers start to go down. And increasingly, it was found that in order to get a good degree, the standard of teaching was so poor because the standard of people that were working there was so poor that people would have to do things like, students would have to do things like, in order, if they wanted to actually pass their degree, they'd have to do things like hire private tutors. So you'd get a whole industry of people that would live in Oxford or Cambridge and would work as private tutors, and they would tutor the students who were already paying fees to the university so that the students would be in with a chance of actually passing their degree or getting an honours degree or whatever. So the quality of people that was there, well, they were there because they were religious fanatics. They weren't there because they were any good at research or anything. So you have private tutors that tutor you. People are then increasingly let in, not because of any kind of academic standard, but because of the kind of school they've been to or because of where they're from in the country or whatever, or simply because of their connection to the church. And so it just doesn't have any prestige anymore. And so research starts to move outside the universities or simply to universities that are not in England. And this carries on until we get to the point where by the 18th century, the attitude is that Oxford and Cambridge is just a finishing school for the decadent upper class and whatever. A lot of people go there and don't even get a degree. And the really intelligent people, they don't go to university. So it's in decline. Increasingly, barristers, for example, stop going to university and they go straight to the Inns of Court. They don't bother, or they don't bother going to university. They bypass it, or people send their sons into being merchants. Anything. They don't bother with the university. And while this is happening, it's quite interesting. If you look at the super elite, so for example, the prime ministers, the kind of people that are prime ministers of the UK, in the 18th century and a lot of the 19th century, overwhelmingly, if they go to university, they go to Oxford or Cambridge, because there were some reforms which went in 1870, and therefore the standard starts to go up. But if you go back before that, if you get back to the 18th century, it's rather different. A lot of them don't go to Oxford or Cambridge, or if they do, they go to Oxford. The really intelligent academic ones go to Oxford or Cambridge and then somewhere else, because they want the truly academic people, that they don't go to Oxford or Cambridge. They're of a low standard. They go to the truly academic universities where real serious important research is happening, where science is happening. And that is the universities in Scotland that do not have religious entry requirements, and the universities on the continent. And I should remember that at that time, all university teaching was done in Latin, so you could just go anywhere you wanted. So you have the Earl of Bute, who was Prime Minister in the 1760s. Where did he go? Eton. After Eton, did he go to Oxford and Cambridge? No. He went to Groningen and Leiden universities in the Netherlands. Pitt the Elder went to Oxford, but then he wanted a proper education, so he went to Utrecht University in the Netherlands. Lord North went to Oxford, but then he wanted to properly learn things, you know, properly do some academic training, so he went to Leipzig University in Germany. The Duke of Wellington didn't bother going to Oxford or Cambridge at all. He went to a college in France, the French Royal College of Equitation, where he learned to basically be a vet for horses. Viscount Melbourne went to Cambridge University, but then he probably wanted to actually know things. He was a highly intelligent, educated man, so he wanted to go to a proper university, so then he went to Glasgow University. Lord John Russell just went to Edinburgh University. Viscount Palmerston, Edinburgh University. Disraeli didn't bother going to university, just went straight to the Inns of Court, and so on. So this is basically the system. And even our greatest academics, our greatest scholars of the time, people like Darwin. Darwin, yeah, he went to Cambridge University, but that's only because he went to Edinburgh University first to do something proper, like science, and then he was thrown out for being lazy. Francis Galton, yeah, he went to Cambridge University, but before he went to Cambridge University, he went to what would become Birmingham University, where he could learn something proper, where he could learn science. So this is what happened. And so the universities were in decline, and all of the intelligent people were going to Germany, were going to Holland to university, were going to Scotland to university, because they were the actual places where you could do serious academic research, where genius was still valued. And then you had the reforms in 1871 of the English university, where they abolished these ideas, where they abolished the Test Act, where they said that, you know, you don't have to be Anglican. And then, of course, the process began all over again. Then it started to attract the geniuses anew. The cycle begins anew. Then with the liberalisation and the end of the religious tests, the geniuses can come back. And then you have these amazing genius people at Oxford and Cambridge. And then the amazing research starts happening at English universities and all this. And they become highly prestigious once again. And then what happens? The same process. It attracts the midwits, and the midwits start to gradually move it away from the unbridled pursuit of truth and towards being a reflection of the ideology of the time. Why? Well, they go in there and they want to signal their conformity, and then they put that above the pursuit of truth, and so then they get jobs at the university. And once they do that, then of course they start employing people because they are ideologically pure rather than because they are geniuses. I mean, who are you going to give the job to? The autistic weirdo or the head girl type who is very, very high in social conformity and very intelligent and very socially skilled and whatever? Well, it's going to be that type. And so gradually the culture of the university changes again, and gradually it becomes an arm of the ideology, but it's the new ideology. Christianity collapses, and we have the new ideology of wokeness, and in the same way and via the same process of virtue signalling and so forth, that ideology takes over the university. They start putting that ideology above intelligence in their lecturers or in their pupils. They start putting that ideology as more important than anything else and letting people in. And what you would eventually expect to happen is that prestige, is that they will start excluding those with its ideology of equality, they will start excluding those of high social status, excluding the upper class, excluding the genius type, and prestige will move to where those people go. And so as Oxford and Cambridge starts increasingly letting in people because they are part of the new inverted aristocracy, and it starts letting in people because of their ideological purity rather than because of their genius or that they are of very high social status, then, of course, prestige will simply go to where those people go. And that is the process that we are in now in the priestly cycle of universities. And the question is, where is that going to go? And one suspects it's going to be to perhaps non-Western universities, or probably that people will just increasingly stop going to university. Once 50% of the population are going to university, which is now the case in the UK, it's not inherently prestigious to go to university at all. And gradually you would expect this to pollute the entire university system, and the bubble will burst. And just like happened in the Reformation, universities will start to go into decline and will start to close. And you'll get the rise of the gentleman scholar again, and the equivalent of the scholar rector again. And something new will transpire. And that is what I think is happening. So we've been here before. Everything goes in cycles, and that includes the universities. So I hope this is a bit of interest. And goodbye!
Hello, hello, hello! The Jolly Heretic is an online public house which meets on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 PM UK time, 2 PM New York, in which we discuss the kind of based, fearless science which is increasingly expunged from our woke, joke universities. If you would like to help the Jolly Heretic public house, and there are many ways you can do so, please, please, please become one of my patrons on Subscribestar. Also, if you want to, you can donate to the channel using Odyssey and Entropy, and you could also purchase Jolly Heretic merchandise, such as shirts and mugs. All of the links are in the description. Again, I'd be most violently grateful if you could assist the Jolly Heretic Public House, and I will see you all soon, and goodbye!